Well, good morning, everybody. Larry with a stuffy nose here on September 22nd, 2020. Thanks for being with us today here on Education Talk Radio. We did a nice article in a recent issue of our Equity and Access magazine about a company called Edison Learning. It's in there. It's up on site right now at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. All right, about Edison, and Tom Jackson, their CEO, is with us today, and we're going to discuss the work of a really good company, Edison Learning. He'll tell you, but they provide a lot of alternatives to learning for kids who may need it, that kind of stuff, great digital tools, et cetera. You can go to EdisonLearning.com if you want to just preview what I'm going to be talking about with Tom Jackson, who, if he were old enough, would be in my homeroom when I was in high school. I was the Jacobses and the Jacksons. What can I tell you at Overbrook High in Philadelphia? You can find out everything that we're doing over here at ace-ed.org, because we recently linked the two sites of Education Talk Radio and the American Consortium for Equity in Education. So if you go to ace-ed.org, you can do whatever you want over there, look at our magazine, etc. But in particular for this, we have an icon now for the Education Talk Radio podcast. You can just, if you click on that, it'll plomp you right over to our full schedule and all the archive shows and everything else. Please, we want you to join, check what we were doing, of course, but join our consortium. It's the American Consortium for Equity in Education at ace-ed.org. We want your voice to be heard. All right, we publish a great magazine. We always have great information over there, new products, new things of interest, etc., all about equity. So please check it out. By the way, over here we tweet at EduTalk Radio, and on Facebook we're at Education Talk Radio and Larry Jacobs, and LinkedIn again is my name, Larry Jacobs. Okay, that's enough of my homework. Let me bring Tom on here, who, because his company is Edison Learning and his name is Tom Jackson, I am constantly thinking of Tom Edison, which is driving me insane, Tom. It's one of those things I have to keep thinking about, you know? Tom Edison, why am I thinking like this?
It does sort of run together.
Tom Edison, what can I tell you? You know, again, everybody's a good article about Edison Learning in our magazine over at ace-ed.org. And it was a pleasure having that in there, Tom. Tell us about Edison Learning. I don't think enough people know about this, and we want to make sure, because you've really put together something that's a really good mission in education.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, Larry, thank you so much for two things. One, for the very, very kind article you guys wrote on this.
Our pleasure, sir.
Spend some time with your magazine, which I really commend to all of your listeners. It's a great edition, and I've actually gone a couple of editions back, and just really good to hear what you guys are doing and read what you guys are doing.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, we've been around, Larry, for 30 years, and we've been on this battle for equity in education for more than a generation. Our focus is really threefold, okay? It's we want to establish accessible and effective virtual and blended learning environments, school environments for kids. We want to offer rigorous and broad curriculum, and we do that with curriculum that is both core and elective, and we'll talk about, you know, what this exciting thing we've done to infuse project-based learning into our curriculum.
Oh, great.
Super. And then we also offer, because we believe that, you know, good teachers and good principals are what makes good schools, we offer ongoing professional development that builds high-performing administrators and teachers. And we've partnered with over 474 school districts in more than 32 states over time. And so, you know, we're not newcomers to the educational equity platform.
Right, and it's wonderful what you have done. And I want you to go into a little more detail about each thing that you're providing. And I know one of the things that you're providing, and again, I'm going to go over back here to EdisonLearning.com. Okay. First of all, I want to say this. Okay. You have a section on the website called Leading by Example. And I just want to make this point, because there's too few, too far between. My friend Tom on the line is an African-American gentleman, okay? And you talk about leading by example. We are very short in the education industry of people of color who set a shining example. We need more teachers of color. Okay, and we need more people in the industry of color, and I think those people would grow out of the education world. So, Tom, I want to congratulate for this. To me, that's an extremely important part of what you're doing. I just believe that. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, a lot of times people talk about, Larry, walking the talk or walking the walk. Well, you know what? Leading by example for us means that we don't just walk the walk, we run headlong to the front lines of educational inequity to make change. You know, let me give you a good example of that. A good example of that is our school in St. Petersburg, Florida. Most people don't know that St. Petersburg is located in Pinellas County, which is still operating under a 50-year-old desegregation order.
Oh, my God.
You know, and so when you stop and you think about that, that means that even after Brown versus the Board of Education in 1954, right, and even after the 1965 Voting Rights Act and Civil Rights Act, you still had all of the repercussions for years and years in communities like St. Petersburg that operated under the old Jim Crow laws, which were imposed by and coordinated and collaborated by federal, state, and local authorities, and designed specifically to ensure that black and brown kids were not getting the same level of education. It was more than just separate, unequal. It was separate and disastrous. And so,
ensure they had no opportunity. It's a disgusting piece of our history, is all I can tell you.
It is. And what I want to help you readers understand is that it isn't just our history, it's our present. You know, it's our present, because that segregation order is still in place. The Supreme Court in decisions have struck down portions of the Civil Rights Act and the Let It Fire portion, Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. So these things are still here, and these things are still impacting black and brown kids in these neighborhoods. And that's really what drives this inequity. We know the link between, because we fund schools with property taxes, we know the links between housing design and where we put our housing and the zip codes and what happens to our kids in terms of the quality of the schools. So what we do at Edison Learning, when we say leading by example, that means for us that we actually go to the place of the issue, to the crux of the issue. 96% of our kids, you know, are free and reduced lunch. Over 90% of our kids don't have internet access. So we have to deal with that in a COVID environment where, you know, many schools are still online.
When you say of our kids, are you talking about is our kids the kids who Edison Learning works with, or is that the kids of Pinellas County?
The kids that we work with, that Edison Learning works with, whether we're in Pinellas County or whether
it's the Edison number. Thank you.
Yes, it's the Edison number. So it's for us, leading by example means that we are going to work in the toughest, lowest served environments to try and make sure that they have equal access to an excellent and quality education.
Hear, hear. Couldn't come up. From your lips to God's ears. So what do you do? You go in there. What do you do? And by the way, those 400 school districts, this is actually an interesting question. When we talk about something like this, and I know we're referring to maybe kids of color, but I'm curious because under-resourced schools exist not only for in heavy urban areas. I hate that word urban. It's such a euphemism for people of color. It's so ridiculous. But also in rural education. I just think it's an absurd word. Okay. Also in rural education as well. I just want you to put the Edison picture together so that school districts that really do need your help understand what you can do to help them.
Yeah, and so you spot on. You know, the FCC came out and indicated, and to your point, that, you know, 21 million Americans, you know, when regardless of race, and it is more of a class issue than a race issue in that respect, you know, don't have access to broadband, to the internet, and that's a staggering number when you
it
think
is.
About it.
It is.
But then when you
terrible.
Take it down to kids, to school age kids, it's 14% of the households with school age children don't have internet access. You know, so that is, you're right, it is what we call the so called urban areas. It is the rural areas. And
yeah.
what we've done is we target serving kids literally across the country. Whether they're in urban or they're in rural, and our online curriculum is designed to provide easy and affordable access to students wherever they are. And what we do for students who don't have access is we have resources where we've identified companies like Comcast.
Yep.
Comcast has, you know, a great program where they are trying to make sure that students with free and reduced lunch, that those students have heavily discounted, if not free, internet service. And so we work with companies like that to make sure they get access. And then what we've done, if they don't have devices, is we've distributed literally thousands of devices to students who don't have computers at home. And more recently, with our new schools that we actually build from the ground up, we have extended our Wi-Fi guest access so that within a 10-block radius of that school, you have free Wi-Fi so that you, even if you're not going to our school, you have free Wi-Fi access.
That's
so,
pretty good.
You know, yeah. So that's what we talk about in terms of leading by example. It's going to the neighborhoods with the issues, with the lack of access, you know, and going above and beyond to ensure they have access and make sure they have an opportunity to a quality education.
And that's all wonderful, and I congratulate you for doing that, because we need more people just focusing on that and making it happen. And I'll say this, and starting March 13th, when all the schools closed down, the pandemic really hit, okay? And that especially affected Black and Latino families,
yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Just, you know, out of proportion to the numbers of the population per capita. Mm-hmm. But you know, we really learned all about inequity, okay, and just how bad it was. And my standing joke is we've kicked the can down the road for how many years, and we discovered at the end of the road there's a cliff. And we all fell off the cliff together. And I'm so glad that you're working on this. Let's get into the nitty-gritty of Edison. You have online curriculum, which is great, okay, for grades 6 to 12. What kind of curriculum is it? What's in there?
Well, so our online, we've got over 150 accredited e-courses. It's all of your core courses, your English, your math, your science, your history, social studies, all the core curriculum. Plus, what we have done is we have infused 48 project-based learning courses within that curriculum.
Wow.
So this was we started this about 3 years ago because it reminded me of when I was in school. It hit me, and I used to always say, you know, so how am I ever going to use this?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It helps to put things in context, doesn't it? It does.
It really does.
How am I going to use this? Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So when I'm going to use this? So we've infused these 48 project-based learning courses in English, in math, in science, in our core curriculum. It increases engagement, improves performance. It is helpful in preparing kids for college. You know, for a career training, we've added a whole component through a partnership of career and technical education. So for students who choose to go, not that they don't want to go to college, but they want to focus on, learning a trade, we've infused the career technical education curriculum into our e-courses. And then it's aligned to standards across 29 states, including the Common Core standards and the Next Generation standards. So that particular solution set is available and in not just the urban and rural areas, but wherever. And we've got partnerships with schools and school districts across the country to provide that. On the other side of what we do is that we really go at the dropout crisis in our country. And so we go out and we identify kids who have dropped out of school. And some of these kids, sadly to say, didn't even finish middle school, right? So we have a program for overage for grade middle school to try and prevent kids from dropping out, address their needs at that particular time. And we have programs that are designed to get students who have dropped out to come back to school, earn their high school diploma in a truly blended learning environment, and they graduate with a high school diploma. And we have a great statistic around this of success. 92% of those kids will graduate, those kids who drop out, will graduate from our schools with a high school diploma and go on to either college, career, or in some instances, the military, whichever is their choice.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
And by the way, I have to say something. Everybody uses that phrase. I've said this a million times. Everybody uses that phrase, college and career ready. Okay. And although I certainly appreciate college education, really we can drop the college part. The word is career ready. If you want to go to college for a career, fine. If you want to go to tech school, fine. If you want to go in the military, fine. We want you to be able to make those decisions and be successful at whatever you choose. We want you to be career ready. That's all I say, college included.
I agree with you. I agree with you so much on that. It's about preparing students to have the broadest array of opportunities so that they can make the right choice for them, right?
Absolutely. I'll tell you, and I want you to talk a little bit deeper about this, because there is a serious dropout problem in this country. And I'm on your website again, edisonlearning.com. And Tom, could you talk about, and I'll just read it here, North Star Academies, which is highly listed under alternative education. What's that?
Yes, so North Star Academies, we're excited about this. North Star Academies is a series of these alternative education or dropout recovery schools that we have that we've created in Florida. There are two in Miami-Dade. There are two in Broward County. There is one in Palm Beach and one in Osceola. And our newest one is in Pinellas, right? That was what
great.
I opened up.
Great.
Yeah, and they're all high-performing schools. That's the other part about it. I mean, you think about this. You've got kids in some instances who are 16 and 17 years old with a third grade reading level. And yet we are able to not only graduate those kids, but bring them closer to their cohort and the schools themselves get designated by the state as a high performing school. So it tells you that, these kids can perform, they can succeed in a rigorous and a high performing environment if given the chance. So we're very excited about what we're able to accomplish with North Star Academy, a series of high-performing alternative education schools in Florida. It's seven schools today that will grow to about 15 schools by 2023.
Congratulations. That's great. I must ask, considering COVID, are the schools, especially this year or whenever, are they physical or are they virtual or both?
Well, they're both. Because
how about now?
In a blended learning environment. Right now, what we did with our parents is we gave our parents and students the option. Because we surveyed our parents and our students, and you can just guess the number one concern for everybody was safety. We follow the CDC guidelines. We put, temperature check machines in all of the schools. We heightened our cleaning requirement regimen. But then we turned to our parents and we said, "What do you feel most comfortable with? Would you like your students to be in person in the building, or do you want your students to be to learn remote? Some of them said remote, some of them said in the building, and so that's why I said both, because what we've done is we're meeting that need based upon the safety profile of that particular family. What's an interesting thing that's happening, however, is we're seeing more and more of our students and our families who are remote decide that they really do want to be face-to-face. And so, you know, we've got all the requirements. You must wear masks. We've got the social distancing requirements. You know, we've staggered the day so that we can ensure that that kids are safe. But again, we're guided by what the family chooses in terms of.
Yeah, you have to be. You have to be. And just everybody has to be very, very careful. And again, I'll say it again, people of color are especially vulnerable to this thing. It's very concerning. Okay. I don't know how or why that's happening, but it is a fact. So please, everybody, be very careful about that.
I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, it's particularly true for when you look at the student profile of our schools and of North Star in particular. You know, so they are, for the most part, students of color, you know, families that have been most highly impacted by healthcare disparities even before COVID. We saw tremendous healthcare disparities. And so, you know, one of the things about that have been successful for North Star is that we have partnerships for wraparound services for our kids. So we've been attuned to the need to address the healthcare issues and other issues that our kids address even before COVID, which made us particularly prepared and sensitive, I will say, to what we needed to do in a COVID environment.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's so scary and so nuts out there. And I just, you know, and I agree with you. Obviously, face-to-face education works better. Okay, and obviously everybody wants that to be, the parents are sick of the kids are sick of the parents, they want to see their boyfriends and girlfriends, let's be honest, okay, these are kids, okay, but we just got to be super duper careful about this. And I want you to explain to folks, if you can, Tom, and I'm on your site, it says your team, I don't know a lot of the people, but people are always, and how do you develop a course, okay, who are the people behind Edison that nobody will ever see, but they're important. Who are they?
We have just an outstanding team of educators. I'm constantly impressed with what they do. You know, these our team collectively, we were looking at this the other day. You know, they've got over 300 years of, you know, sound educational experience, including in online curriculum development. You know, we've got people like, you know, our chief learning officer, Dr. Wendy Oliver, is just, you know, celebrated expert and speaker on online education,
cool,
providing quality education. She's got a great book out for your readers called It's Not Your Mama's Classroom, which really helps parents to understand how they can use online education to be effective and how very different it is, but how personal it can be in helping to drive, education, quality education for the kids. But, and we can just go down the line of people who really do get, what that curriculum ought to look like. And what I like about it is they design it with students and teachers in mind. So it's not an online textbook. It is truly a digital interactive curriculum, which is very different. And so we've been very deliberate about that, Larry. And we survey against it. There's a feedback loop that we've created with our students and our teachers to really help us understand what in fact students are learning best from and what's not necessarily, as Mama would say, scratching where they're itching. But then we combine that with a set of what we call centralized teachers. We've got about 70 centralized teachers who are there to actually teach the curriculum if the school district or the parents want our teachers, or to tutor the students if they need tutoring, or
That's
to advise
great.
The students. One of the challenges with learning online is sort of the stickiness of the student's attention, right?
Yes, that's right.
And so, right,
yeah.
right? So what we've done is we've, again, because we look at this from the perspective of both the student and the teacher, what we are doing is we're saying, how do we make sure that student is engaged? So we're developing that learning profile, where the student is at the point that they engage with us. What's missing? What do they need? And then what we're doing all along the student's learning journey is ensuring that that student is connected and getting what they need and giving a feedback loop to the parent to say, here's where your student is and here's what they need to move forward. And so I'm very proud of what we've done from an education and online curriculum perspective.
It's so important. I had a laugh a minute ago, keeping the kids engaged. It's hard enough. We're rolling the classroom with them, and they're focused on that, okay? But when they're at home, okay, I'm trying to think what I would do in this situation if I were a kid. Now, I'd have the TV running on the corner of my eye, I think, with my parents yelling at me all the time. So to have a course, let's face it, we're all human. So to have a course that really engages the kids is very, very important. Tom, is the best way for a school district to get in touch with you through the website?
Yeah, that is the best way. And in about 30 days, we'll be launching a brand new interactive website. We like what we have now, but we're launching it. One of the things we want to do is we want to make sure that our students can sign up exactly straight from the website rather than receiving a separate link. We want to make it easier for our parents to get connected with us. Our students in our alternative education schools reached out to us and said, hey, you know what? We need to tell people what's going on here, what this story about North Star is.
That's a good point.
Because it changes lives every day. And so they have created these testimonials about how North Star is changing their lives, how they're the first one to graduate in their family. To graduate from high school, or the first one to go to college, their first generation college folks, you know, and so they want to tell that story, and they wanted a platform for doing it, and we're going to be featuring them on our website. So I would encourage
that's
you
excellent.
To listen to go to our website. Stay tuned, lots more coming through that website.
Well, we're going to do another podcast, I think, in about a month, so we'll be on top of that. Okay, we'll be talking about that and highlighting it at the right time. It's really good. By the way, I must tell you, I am giggling. The picture you have under your alternative education is these five wonderful looking kids. Okay, and the first three, you can see a big smile on their face as they're graduating. But the kid number four, he's kind of like distracted a little bit. Next picture, get him to turn his head so I can see how good looking he is. Okay, it's so funny. The first three are so excited, and the third one's like, yeah, okay, I'll move on. The fourth kid. It's really funny when you look at it that way.
Right, okay. Three out of four, right?
3 out of 4 ain't bad. 75%. I got to tell you, but just cracked me up when I was looking at it. It's just, what's number four doing? You know, it just made me laugh.
He's at a graduation ceremony, and he just wants to get it over with.
Get
so
me
no
the hell out of here, right? It's that simple. I remember those days, all right? So funny. Right. Anyway, this is great. It's so good to know you, Tom. I really appreciate it. And what you're doing is really great stuff. And if I may, you know, the world is spinning in your direction. The whole idea, the alternative, the blended learning, the online learning, the e-courses, et cetera. It's right place, right time, my friend. All about equity.
Thank you very much. It's exciting times, and I really appreciate an opportunity to speak with you and with your listeners about these times, you know, and the importance of realizing what Brown versus the Board was all about. And I think that's the real opportunity of online.
Yeah, what you said at the beginning, it's just unbelievable. And, these are Supreme Court times, if I may. To put this in perspective, Justice Ginsburg died a few days ago. Everybody's thinking about the Supreme Court now, and it really does matter. Okay,
it really does
matter. And you highlighted that beautifully at the beginning of this. So thank you, Tom. Tom Jackson, you're a good man, but I'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Larry, thanks again for the opportunity to speak with you. Be well.
My pleasure, sir, and enjoy that warm weather in Florida. Have a good one, Tom. Thanks.
Thank you. Take care. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Tom is down in Florida, I believe in Fort Lauderdale. Okay, and that's Tom Jackson, who's the president and CEO of Edison Learning. Learn more about it. It really is good, and I'm telling you, we did a nice article about them, all right, in the magazine over at ace-ed.org. You can click through on the Equity and Access magazine there and see the article. If you want to learn more directly, you can go to edisonlearning.com, all right? And the website is good. They're doing a new one, but the website is good right now. You have a lot of good information on there. Okay, we'll archive the show at education-talkradio.org, but the easier way is just go to ace-ed.org. Click through on the icon for Education Talk Radio Podcast. My name is Larry Jacobs. Tom, thanks a million. I really appreciate this. Best of luck to Edison Learning. To everybody listening, thanks so much.